The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, hi, folks, and the Lord be with you. Christian Kazaku was our very special guest on this Sunday at Epiclesis. He came our way to share about his life and ministry, to talk about where God might be calling, and to learn more about Epiclesis. Turns out he's been following us for some time, which is a wonderful story in itself. Christian is a Romanian songwriter, a seasoned worship leader, performing artist for over 25 years, and his passion is to see Christian artists engage their craft theologically as an act of worship and as a witness to the risen Christ. He is the director of an initiative designed to cultivate community among artists of faith in his native Romania, and he holds an MA in Intercultural Studies from Fuller Seminary and is currently a student at the Institute for Worship Studies. He and his wife, Bella, have three sons. Now, listen, you're going to hear several things in this presentation. You're going to hear a humble, sweet servant's heart with some sincere tears along the way, a very grateful guest, a man who's been called to some challenging things in his home country, and at the end, you're going to get to hear him play the guitar and sing an original worship song. Now, here's Christian Kazaku.
I sense the presence of the Spirit of God, and I wasn't planning on it in a sense, and I'm deeply grateful for the move of the Spirit in your midst. 20 years ago, on my first visit to the United States, I felt that I should kneel somewhere on this land. So whenever they stopped the car first time, it was a gas station. I got on my knees just to say thank you, God, for your grace to bring me to a training, a worship training with Karen Lefferty in New Mexico. Today, being here, I want to do another gesture of gratitude. So, with your permission, I want to take my shoes off. Because this gathering, I've longed to be with you for a long time. And it's a sacred community of saints, and it's sacred because of Christ. And so I'm honored for the opportunity you've given me, Pastor Chris and the elders of the church, to come and share with you about my life, my journey with Christ, and what I believe to be his calling over my life. I have also some pictures prepared, and I thank Nate for helping me. First, I want to show you a picture of my family. So that's us, Familia Kazaku, Kazaku family. My wife's name is Bella, and we have three sons. The oldest is Avi, age 15. The middle one, his name is Amos in English. He's 9. And the youngest one, his name is Alec Asher, and he's 6 years old. I like both names, and I couldn't decide, so I said, okay, they're all musical. Avi studies piano in music school. It's public school. Amos plays guitar, classical guitar. And Alec is going to start percussion as of September. And my wife, Bella, we've been married for 17 years, and she works as a psychotherapist. So we are from Romania. The next picture will show you where Romania is. I know you know, but it's to the right over there in Eastern Europe. Above us is Ukraine, Moldova. Below us is Bulgaria. To the right, Black Sea. To the west, Hungary and the rest of Western Europe. I was born in a Christian Orthodox family, like most Romanians. About 90% of the Romanian population declares itself to be Orthodox, Christian Orthodox, Eastern, Byzantine. And I was gifted musically because of my mother, also my father, but they didn't really pay too much attention to that. But as I grew up, at the age of about 15, I became a Christian. That's how I was taught to say that I had been Christian Orthodox, but I became a Christian at age 15 in a charismatic setting. Now, I didn't know much about evangelicals. Actually, I didn't know anything about them, but I ended up in an evangelical charismatic church. And because I knew how to play a little bit of guitar, they allowed me to lead worship immediately. So everyone was singing in the key of D, because that's all I knew. So you can imagine how it sounded and how much I sweat. Immediately, I felt that because I belong to Christ, I should write my own songs. And because I was listening to rock music, I started a rock band, and it was called Born Again in English, because I liked the sound. In Romanian, it would have been Născut din nou. Do you think you can try that? Okay, let's try it. So, Născut din nou. There you go. So I can proceed in Romanian now, right? Fiți binecuvântați în numele Tatălui, al Fiului și al Duhului Sfânt. Well, what I said is, fiți binecuvântați în numele Tatălui, al Fiului, al Sfântului Duh. Amin. You got that one, right? Yeah. And so we started a rock band. I wrote my songs. And to my surprise, God started using us among the youth in Romania. This is early 90s. And then later on in early 2000, we were touring throughout the country and blessing the youth. And by God's grace, our music was a blessing to three generations. Those our age, their younger siblings, and the children of those of our age. Even, you know, a couple of years ago, somebody came up to me, a young, handsome boy, and age maybe 18, and he said, I grew up with your music because my parents were listening to your songs on our road trips, so I had to listen to your music. Others would listen to our music under pillows because their parents wouldn't allow for Christian rock music. And so I'm going to show a picture now of us to the left up that. The guy in the black, it's me, and I had hair, yes. That was 1995 with the original band, and 2 years ago, we organized a 30-year anniversary because we started in 1993. So that was an anniversary concert. And the guy in the middle, the young guy in the middle, he's the best drummer in Romania, or at least between the two best drummers in Romania. So he's a believer. He plays progressive rock. But he said, I grew up with your songs. I would eat bread and butter and read your lyrics. So he was so honored to play with us on this anniversary concert. Why am I sharing these things? It's because as I continued to write songs and travel the country, I noticed that we relied almost exclusively on translations of North American songs for worship. Now, many of them were wonderful, but my question was, what about God's story with us? Where's that story? What do we have to contribute? You know, would Chris Tomlin sing any of our songs, you know, if he heard them? And so I became quite adamant about that. And by God's grace, eventually, I ended up at Fuller Theological Seminary on a scholarship to earn a degree, a master's degree in global Christian worship. And that has opened up my eyes to what it means to let every tongue and every tribe express their worship rather than importing and bringing in franchises that run by the book and ignore the intergenerational expression of worship, and they only address a certain niche or niche. Which one should I? Okay, in Florida, they told me it's a niche, but I like niche. And now I'm currently pursuing a degree at the Robert Weber Institute for Worship Studies. My passion and my calling is twofold. And I mean, I didn't choose it. God chose me for that. One is, they both have to do with worship renewal. And one has to do with worship renewal through theology, through music, through the arts. The other has to do with allowing and encouraging the arts to be out there in the public sphere, in the culture, to share about Christ. And I want to give you a brief example of how we try to bring the arts in the public space. And then I want us to talk, to share more about how I see worship. being expressed in the body of Christ. The European Union, we are part of the European Union since 2007. The European Union many years ago decided to choose every year a major city from Europe to become the cultural capital of the entire Europe, so that people could flock in from all the corners of Europe and the world to visit that city and experience the diverse culture, the arts, all sorts of events for 365 days. 2 years ago, my hometown, Timișoara, where the revolution began, started in 1989, my hometown was chosen as the cultural capital of Europe, which is a prestigious title, and it happens only once in a lifetime. You can see that this is a picture of Union Plaza. It's a big mall area with restaurants and the Catholic Dome and some other churches around. And when I knew that that's going to happen, I was in shock when I heard the official motto of the whole event. And the next slide will show you that the official motto was Shine Your Light. So my city decided to promote art and engage the whole of Europe and the world with two mottos, actually, Shine Your Light and Light Up Your City. And I thought to myself, did they just grab the Bible and open in John? You know, the next slide, we have Matthew. These are from Matthew, but also in John, it talks about being the light of the world. And, you know, you are a light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. And so, of course, they didn't use the scripture. What they used was our recent history. Timișoara in the 19th century, in 1883, was the first city in Europe to have electric city lights. Paris at the time had gas lamps. We had electric lights. So they picked up on that idea and, you know, they created a whole concept. And so I went to all my friends, all my evangelical friends, and I went to the Christian radio station and I said, guys, we can't miss on this opportunity. This is once in a lifetime. Europe is big. Many capitals are waiting in line. This is our chance to contribute and show what it means to shine our light through the arts for the purposes of the kingdom. What do you think they responded? Yes? No. Almost nothing was offered to the wider culture from a Christian perspective, because evangelicals in Romania notoriously don't have a theology of the arts, and they don't have a theology of public space, of engaging culture. So I couldn't let that pass by. It's once in a lifetime. Next slide will show you what we managed to do as a small organization. I started a nonprofit organization, not just for that purpose, but that was our first project. These are just posters of the events that we organized. We brought in pianos in the local mall area for people to just play piano and engage, and it was wonderful. 3 days, people from all different walks of life. One time I had a group of goth emo girls, you know, black, and you know, and you know, just like anarchists. They don't care about anything. And then one of them stopped, looked at the piano, and then she went to the piano, pulled out her phone, and looked up a music from a long time ago. And she said, "When I was little, I used to play piano." And she just started playing for minutes upon minutes upon minutes. And I just like that interaction with people, you know. But more than that, we organized a piano concert, Piano Day, with a Latvian pianist, concert pianist. And he performed compositions by John Taverner, Olivier Messiaen, Bach, and Latvian composers, Baltic composers. And he shared Christ with the audience by telling the story of how the composers looked for God and expressed that through their music. And so at the end of the event, I just stood up and I said, "Let your light shine before all men, so, you know, people seeing your good deeds will praise God. Have a good night." And this was a secular setting. It was a secular event, and people were very appreciative of what we brought. The pianist is a genius. He's a concert pianist. He plays all over the world. Among other events that we did, we brought in the best sculptor in Romania, and he's world-renowned. And he happens to be Baptist. In fact, he tells a story of how he went to Rome, I think in St. Peter's Cathedral, and he was talking to God, and he said, "God, why didn't you make me Orthodox or Catholic? Why Baptist?" And then he says that God answered and said, "Exactly because of that. Because there's no one." And he is a trailblazer. He is a phenomenal sculptor. One of his sculptures was purchased by Wheaton College, the School of Arts. And we brought him downtown, right there in the picture. That's where the Romanian Revolution started. And he created that sculpture behind him. It's like a cylinder, and it's called Rain in Timișoara. And when you walk inside the sculpture, one half of the sculpture has raindrops cut through or cut in, and light comes through. On the other side, the raindrops have bullet holes. And the idea is that in 1989, people who were the rain of God, the rain that brought freedom to the nation, they were shot. Many were shot by the communists. But the communists, and he says that, the communists could not stop the rain, could not stop the change by shooting bullets. Nobody can stop the rain by shooting the raindrops. And so now, when we were the cultural capital of Europe, light could come through people, through the raindrops. And he spoke of Christ. And for me, it was such an honor to be able to invite him. One of the previous pictures, if you could go back two slides, please. That one over there in the background still bears the bullet holes from the revolution. So they won't let that building be repaired. The facade has to stay that way. And so I wanted people, when they walk in that sculpture, because you can walk through it, also experiment reality by looking at the building and trying to remember what that must have been like. Actually, he told me that he started thinking of the sculpture in 1989 when he saw what was going on in our city. And so it took him many years to get there. So I didn't want to miss the opportunity to shine the light through the arts. And when we did it, nobody, you know, poked fingers at us or laughed at us as, you know, repenters. Evangelicals are called repenters in Romania. It's a pejorative way. They actually appreciated what we did. So I could have stayed home with my wife and three children and do nothing, because all these events took their toll on us, health-wise, emotionally, financially, whatnot. But once we step into the world and bring the light, the world takes notice. And so in the last several years, I met a lot of artists, a lot of organizations, Christians, and among others, I've met Diane and Glenn Collard. And I've tried in the last years to rally artists and try to help equip them theologically and bring them to the surface and encourage the churches to re-embrace the arts, both in worship of the church and also in the public witness. And at one gathering, there was a group of artists, and one of them, the one behind me to the right, Adi Huniadi, he's a wonderful painter and a believer. And he comes to me with this painting and says, "This is for you." And he says, "You know, you are the one to rally us together. We need someone like you." And he gave me that painting to encourage me not to give up. Actually, during that meeting, I told them that I want to give up, because it's just too much and I'm alone. And that painting is worth 1,000 euros, which is about $1,200. And he just gave it to me to not give up. And it meant a lot to me because the painting is beautiful, but to hear someone encourage me and validate God's calling meant a lot to me. And then I've talked to Diane and Glenn last fall. They were in our house spending time with us. And she told me something that is too much for me to bear, I guess. She told me that back in the 80s, she and her husband, they were walking down that same plaza that I just showed you. But it was the 80s. They were smuggling Bibles. It was communist Romania. I was 10 years old in a different city, living. And she said that they prayed that God would raise someone who would have a heart for worship and the arts. And then she turned to me and said, "And you are the answer." That's too much for me to carry. But it means so much to hear that, because my journey has been, I was telling someone the other day, my journey has not been like, you know, straight, you know, just go with the flow, get the franchise, and you'll get a successful ministries. My journey has been, you know, we say sinuous, what would that be in English? Circuitous, with ups and downs and wondering, God, why? And this brings me to how I ended up here and why I wanted to come in this pilgrimage here. Prior to IWS, even during my time at Fuller, I knew that worship needs to be differently, that worship has to have scripture, has to have, you know, repentance, has to have this liturgical approach to it that is life-giving. And we couldn't find that in our settings. I don't want to speak badly about them, but the standard in evangelical churches in Romania is what you have here in the mega churches. So basically, for 3 decades, and I've been involved in worship for 3 decades now, the standard has been, you know, the independent praise and worship charismatic style of these days. It's represented by, I guess, Bethel, Elevation, Hillsong. That's the standard. And so last year at a national conference, I offered myself to prepare for one of the worship slots, to prepare something along the lines of what we experience today, because I wanted the leaders in the country to see that there's possible, that there's more. You know, so we had call to worship, we had singing, we had responsive scripture reading, we have meditation on scripture, everything in 24 minutes, because then the plenary speaker was going to come up. And the night before the event, during our rehearsal, I was pulled to the side and I was told that because of all these liturgical ideas that I've embraced over the years, they feel the need to cancel what we wanted to offer, because people do not pay money for a conference to hear that, but they need to hear something that they're used to, the megachurch North American style. That night, I left that building quite brokenhearted, but a few minutes later, I realized that God is putting me on a new path. And I remember that Diane had told me, there is this church in Sacramento. If you ever make it there, they spoke so highly of you, how much you mean to them, and what a haven it is, a healing space for them to when they come to visit you. And so I approached Pastor Chris, and I said, I want to come. This is going to be my pilgrimage. I want to come and see how you do community, to see how God engages with you, how he gathers you, and how you celebrate the Eucharist together. So I'm grateful for this, because as of last year, I'm scared that I have to consider starting a church, an ancient future. And when I looked up your website and I saw that there's ancient future faith communities, my first question was, are there more? Can I sign up? Do they want to start one in Romania? Because I was telling last night, I was telling someone, in Romania you have the Orthodox and the Catholic traditions, and you have the evangelicals that tend to be more like what I've described already. But in between, there's a gap. And I think that the ancient future worship expression, I'm actually convinced that is the answer. I'm convinced because I've done this for 30 years, and I know many look into this side, but they don't necessarily feel that they have to move into the Orthodox or Catholic Church. We need the great tradition of the church, and I'm all for that. So I brought some gifts for you as a church because I knew it would be appreciated here. I brought an icon, the closest I could find that has to do with the Holy Spirit. It's from the Orthodox Cathedral in town, and it represents Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And this is my family's gift. I wish I could say my church's gift, or maybe should I say my church's gift? Christ's church's gift to you as a community. And I have 2 more gifts. Here I brought a myrrh of nard. I heard that recently you've been having sermons on this topic. It's from the a famous Orthodox monastery. It's called Oasha. And whenever you have to oint someone or have prayer of intercession, please use it and remember us. That's for you. And I brought another gift for you, incense. This is also from Owasha Monastery. Whenever you come to Romania, I'll take you there. We can go to Dracula Castle as well, but let's stick to the... and it's frankincense, right? Smyrna frankincense. I don't know if you use it or not. I use it as a symbol that reminds me of the prayers of the saints ascending to the throne of Christ, who is above any other name and any other authority, the supremacy of Christ. So these are gifts for your church, and please remember us, and please pray for favor for me and my wife, who's paid the price of my journeys, and now stays with three boys at home, and she's overwhelmed. But I wanted to come here. I'm grateful. I'm glad that Diane told me about you, and I wish there were more churches, ancient future churches. I truly believe that Europe needs this kind of expression in worship because of all the history. Because everywhere you go, you will see the Bethel, Hillsong, elevation expression almost everywhere in Europe among evangelicals. But I think that has finished its course a long time ago. And many are disenchanted and they long for more. I have friends in my town who long for more, but they don't know where to go. I pray that God will help us in our discerning His will for our lives. Thank you. Thank you.
7:14. I'm going to sing it both in Romanian and in English. And I invite you to take it as a time of reflection, meditation, intercession, both for our people and for your people.
Sins. I will hear their voice from